Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In Milwaukee Sports Talk Radio, there are the issues that we all talk about. And you who have the final say. This is your show. It's Kim and Lavoie. Judgment Day.
If you've been arrested for drunk driving or any other criminal offense, call Kim and Lavoie, 262-796-1400. That's 262-796-1400. Or go to KimandLavoie.com. Kim and Lavoie, they're your best defense.
Now, the Wendy's Big Show.
It's a playoff Wendy's Big Show on the Fan, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app. Appreciate you hanging out. A Kim and Lavoie Judgment Day, a wild card Tuesday, and the Brewers with an opportunity to punch a ticket to the NLDS tonight in the nation's capital. Our own Chuck Freeman is there. He will join us at about 3:48. Mike Clemens is here around 4:45, and David Bakhtiari, usually on Tuesdays at 4:35, he is going to join us pretty much right out of the chute. 2:35, we're a half hour away from David Bakhtiari, the Packers left tackle, joining the Wendy's Big Show, which is Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, and myself, Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. Appreciate you hanging out. 414-799-1250. Brewers with a chance to go to the LA Dodgers tonight. Stevie, it is one game, one opportunity with nine innings, and sure, the numbers will point, towards the Brewers being the underdog. Right now, they're about $1.70 underdog. Take it or leave it wherever you invest here in the state of Wisconsin or in the city of Nevada or the city of Las Vegas. But anyway, you slice it, anyway you dice it, the Brewers are with the odds stacked against them tonight against Max Scherzer. But as Craig Counsell has said, they provide some challenges for the Nationals as well. 25-man roster announced today. And the Brewers going with a one-game push as they have 15 position players on the 25-man roster.
But is there one with the last name Shaw?
He is on the roster, yes. Travis Shaw did make the roster.
So you're stunned by that, I'm assuming. I'm stunned by that. I saw today, when Gary brought this up yesterday, you and I both were like, it's a waste on the playoff roster, Gary. I mean, he's in like $1.50. He's just... Somebody please explain to me why Travis Shaw is on this roster. Because, again,
left-handed, right-handed split.
If Travis Shaw is up in any type of critical situation late in this game, I'm going to be livid. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily who I'd like to see, but then again, it's better than David Freitas. So, I mean,
well,
in
yeah,
that sense,
but
I'm
you're
fine
as good
with
as
it.
David Freitas at this point. I mean,
sure, but like in that sense, who was it going to be otherwise?
See, and that's the issue.
If they wanted to go with another pitcher, then sure, but they got 10 of them, so if you need more than 10, this game goes horribly wrong.
One would think you're not going to need all those position players either. You would think that you're not going to use all of them. Now, if anybody could use all of them with all the pitching changes,
it would be Craig Counsell.
It could be Craig Counsell.
100%.
That could make enough of those changes. I guess I'm just not a big fan of it. I kind of... People may laugh at me about this, and I'm okay with that. I kind of wanted to see Jimmy Nelson out in that bullpen to give him an opportunity if this thing gets into extra innings to come in and pitch a couple of innings if need be. I thought he's pitched fairly well the last couple of weeks, right? I mean, Jimmy Nelson hasn't been...
Yeah, sure. Jimmy Nelson's been okay.
Right. You don't like Jimmy Nelson?
I mean, Jimmy Nelson, Travis Shaw, flip a coin. Like, in
right,
that sense, I mean,
right,
they're both
from that perspective.
Yeah,
right.
Much,
so it's just pitcher or hitter.
For sure.
Necessarily, pretty much at the end of the day. But I mean, Tyler Austin is on this, on this roster. There's another guy that, you'd think you'd see in spring training, and that's about it. And here he is on a postseason roster. But it really just exemplifies really what this team has overcome with what they've got on this roster to get to this point in time, and now you got to try and win with it to get to the next round of the playoffs.
And yeah, they have nine guys stacked up behind Brandon Woodruff, one of those, Drew Pomeranz, Freddie Peralta, Jordan Lyles, who's started and been tremendous since the Brewers brought him in from Pittsburgh, but he has experience coming out of the bullpen, Jay Jackson, obviously Josh Hader, Junior Guerra, Alex Claudio, and Chase Anderson, who started the year in the bullpen for this one-game wild card game in D.C. And, Gary, you brought it up yesterday to Tim and myself about oh man, what do you think of Travis Shaw being on this roster? We kind of laughed and we're like, I'd really rather not have his buck 50 playing. But Tyrone Taylor also has a job at FedEx waiting for him once he's done with this game, and he's on the postseason roster for an opportunity to pinch run or whatever it might be. In this game, it's all hands on deck, and it's Craig Counsell doing Craig Counsell things and using every single player he can.
So everybody's on my Facebook page. You can hit me on Facebook at Gary Ullerson, and I don't charge you. Just like it and whatever.
It's like the radio.com app. It's free.
Yeah, it's free, and just like it. Just hit the like button. And you know, but if you think about Craig Counsell and like how he's been doing Travis Shaw, not necessarily even Travis Shaw, but really just like who he is, maybe as a manager and a person, and how he feels about like
and who veterans. He was as a player, probably
yeah,
too.
Who he was as a player. Steve, did he go for like 0-for-100 or something like that one time?
0-for-49, I think it was. Yeah, something stupid like that.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of figured he's going to put Travis Shaw on this. I mean, I don't know if he's going to use him or not, but I just felt that that's kind of where it's going to go because that's who he's been really this whole year and really towards Travis Shaw. And everybody's giving me heat on Travis Shaw. I'm good with it. I mean, you play a hunch. It may or may not work out.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Listen, you've got a guy in the locker room. You got a guy inside the locker room that everybody likes.
Yep.
And you're trying to create the chemistry. You're trying to create the magic.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to all the little extra stuff that, I mean, he probably felt, man, I need Shaw in his locker room because of such and such and such and such and such. And it's all intangibles. It's not 150, because that's what we see. But we saw 150, then we're saying the Brewers lose tonight.
But
right?
Also, I see 150, and I look at it and be, man, Travis Shaw, it's a hell of a time for you to have that big hit.
Oh, we've been saying that all year.
Hell of a time for you to get your one moment in the sun.
We've been saying that for months, haven't
you? We've been saying it all year.
Every time he comes up?
Yes.
And what he can do is he gives you an at-bat where somebody, he knows where the strike zone is, and he can work somebody, too, which can put a little pressure on something.
But here's what I'm saying to you right now. If you play the numbers and you say, I don't want Travis Shaw because he hit 150, then you also have to play the numbers that the Brewers should lose tonight. Either way, to me, both of them, you're playing a hunch. You're playing a hunch with Travis Shaw. You feel something that he may bring something intangible to the table. If you feel like the Brewers are going to win tonight, and I'm not a numbers guy, but if you're doing numbers, because everybody numbers, you're doing numbers in baseball, numbers tell you that you're supposed to lose tonight. I mean, if you look at Scherzer, is it Scherzer? That's his name?
Yeah, Max Scherzer.
Max Scherzer. Really ain't nobody hit this joker but Moustakas. I think Moustakas maybe like 6-for-26.
Yeah, he's only hitting .167.
Yeah.
6-for-36.
Kane and Bronny, like 0-for-50?
Ofer.
Yeah.
Ofer, all over the place.
So, I mean, if you just do all that, but the flip side of the numbers is what? What Scherzer's
The Nationals have lost the last 7 starts that Max Scherzer has made in the postseason.
Yeah,
so and he's been much more human in the postseason, ERA of about 3.75.
Yeah, so if you do, all that, I'm good with the roster. I'm good with where Craig Counsell got it. Listen, guys, and I know if they lose, y'all gonna light up Craig Counsell tomorrow.
No,
I'm just gonna be crushed.
No,
because I know I'm gonna hear it. Because
you're gonna light up Craig Counsell if it's close and he does something stupid.
Who's the manager at Nationals?
Dave Martinez.
You know what this is like.
What's this like, Gary?
And what's the head coach at Alabama?
Nick Saban.
This Nick Saban versus Paul Chris. Paul Chris got 9 4-5 star players. 9. Nick Saban got 100. Right? But and I've said this before. What if you took Paul Chris and put him where Nick Saban is? You take Nick Saban and put him at Paul Chris is, who'd be the better coach? Because Paul Chris is coaching harder, don't kid yourself, than Nick Saban.
You're talking about just based on talent, because Dave Martinez is not Nick Saban. I mean, these clouds haven't even won a postseason series.
I'm just saying, who's coaching harder?
That's far as the talent
who's coaching harder?
Yeah.
Paul Chris is coaching harder than Nick Saban. To me, Craig Counsell is coaching harder than, is it Martinez?
Dave Martinez.
Yeah. It's a no-brainer.
Well, Dave Martinez was also ready to get fired in the middle of May.
Well, sure.
When his team was 13 games under 500.
Yeah, but the Bros and Joes weren't doing it.
Sure, and then the money really kicked in, and they were able to get a little bit hotter and get a little healthier, which is the biggest thing. And the Nationals are hot as well, Sparky. They've won 8 straight games, so it's not like the Brewers are the only team somewhat rolling into this game, albeit what happened in Colorado over the weekend. It will be somewhat of a stunner across baseball, but everywhere that I've watched today, MLB Network, MLB Radio, you know, across the dial on the radio.com app, everybody is just saying, well, it seems like the Brewers forgot how to lose. It also feels like the Nationals have been in a same pace, because while you've gained all of this ground on the other teams in September, the Nationals stayed in front and decently comfortably. You only got tied with them one time.
Yeah, I don't know about everybody else. I mean, you've got a good feeling about this game. I talked to Bart Winkler today after the show. We and him are having a conversation. I asked him what he thought. He's got a really good feeling about this game tonight for the Brewers. Seems to be a lot of people that have a lot of good vibes about this Brewers team. Now, Bart quickly pointed out, but that doesn't mean anything, because I've been wrong all year on the Brewers. Because I have a good vibe.
Like, hated the team.
Doesn't mean much. So from that perspective, I guess I'm just not there with you all as far as the good vibes and everything else. And Max Scherzer, he's really good, man. And we don't know if they're gonna bring Strasburg behind him. We don't know if they're gonna bring Corbin behind him or what they're gonna do. We don't know what they're gonna do, right? Everybody's guessing that's what they'll do, because the Nationals bullpen is like the worst in baseball, so they're horrible. There's like two guys you can count on it. Outside of that, he's got nobody. So that would make the most sense if they do that. But again, as Tim Allen has been talking about on this radio station for the last 24 hours, that takes them out of their comfort level a little bit. They're not used to coming out of the bullpen, so maybe does that screw them up a little bit and so forth. And that, as a Brewer fan, that's what you're hoping for, that happens. You're hoping that happens, and that benefits you. Because if they're not out of their comfort zone, if they pitch like they're capable of pitching, and Brewers could get shut out or only get one run on the board tonight in a big game. The one thing I like about it, about this Brewers team, is I just love the vets in the clubhouse in big situations. I like Lorenzo Cain in a big situation, as beat up and broken down as he is. He's on this roster. He's playing regardless. You know, he tried to give it a go at running yesterday. The video was up from Adam McKelvey yesterday. I was watching it yesterday afternoon, him trying to get around third base. And I tweeted out, I don't see a limp, so I'm guessing he'll play. And he is, so I like him. I like Moustakas in a big situation. I like Braun in a big situation. Grandal's gotten hot again, it looks like, lately. I like him in that situation. So from that aspect, I like it. Do I like the numbers against Scherzer? I hate those quite a bit. Those numbers don't favor the Milwaukee Brewers either at this point. But again, can you talk yourself into buying into this Brewers team one more time tonight? I think you can.
And I think a lot of it is understanding what the situation is at hand. And the Nationals are probably looking a little bit ahead, depending on what they do with that bullpen and what they do with that starting rotation. Because, like Gary, you said, I wouldn't go to Strasburg if I'm them. No, I'm saving Steven Strasburg, thinking that I can win with my guy Max Scherzer on the mound and save him for game one in L.A. The Brewers aren't thinking that way. I mean, if anything, they have Zach Davies waiting in the wings, and he wasn't on the playoff roster for probably an intentional reason. Also, Gio Gonzalez, because he just pitched a couple of days ago. 414-799-1250. It's playoff day. It's a game that is one for the books. It's one for one. It's play and win and go home. If you lose, you are done. If you win, you go to Los Angeles, and the Brewers, if they win tonight, will play the Dodgers at 8:37 Thursday night in Los Angeles. But it's 7:09 tonight in Nationals Park, in the nation's capital. We take you up until first pitch here on The Fan. We're here until 5:30 with the Wendy's Big Show. Then myself and Tim Allen go the rest of the way until first pitch with the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, a special 90-minute version. We're going to hear from Keston Hira, Trent Grisham, Craig Counsell as well. We're going to hear his Craig Counsell today here on the Wendy's Big Show. David Bakhtiari in about 20 minutes from right now. Special time with Bach at 2:35 here on the Wendy's Big Show. Stevie, first off, before we take a quick time out, Sight and Sound Solutions.
AT&T and DirecTV, a great, great marriage. TV and internet for as low as $99 a month. About that. You get the choice package with DirecTV. That includes Fox Sports Wisconsin. Watch your favorite baseball or basketball teams. Basketball season about to start too here shortly. NFL Sunday ticket, no additional charge for the remainder of the season. And $200 in Visa cards. That's right. You can use these anywhere Visa is accepted. But wait for it. They can do more for you now. Sight and Sound Solutions can offer you a U-verse bundle, the new AT&T fiber internet, AT&T wireless phones. If you want it, they got it. Basically, the entire lineup of AT&T service. And as an existing customer, if you feel your package deal could be better, well, you can help you with that too. We try the call 262 number. Talk to my guy, Al, that's been doing this stuff for over 15 years. He is the best at what he does. I've been with him for several years with my DirecTV, and I absolutely love it. Sight and Sound Solutions is a preferred retailer for AT&T. And I'll tell you this, they're number one as far as making sure their customers are happy with their DirecTV service. Call Sight and Sound Solutions today at 262-754-1500. That's 262-754-1500. NFL signed a ticket on Mega Renew season. Prevailing rate on this against the price of the season. Slate international games excluded. Remote access to one game at a time. Data charges may apply. Call for details.
Craig Council said, let's get wild through Travis Shaw and his 25-man postseason roster for tonight. But if he ends up in the starting lineup, oh, man, Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
And the Brewers have taken the lead in the ninth inning. A grand slam for Ryan Braun.
Can you feel the hunger? The hunger.
It's a three RBI triple.
Can you feel the hunger? The hunger.
He got him a strikeout to end it.
A grand slam for Ryan Braun. The Brewers will punch a ticket to the postseason for the second consecutive year.
Wendy's Big Show on the Fan, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com. I appreciate you hanging out, Brewers, with an opportunity to go to D.C. with a win tonight. It's the wild card round, one game, playoff elimination style format for the MLB. Wild card round in the National League. Brewers up first, a 7:09 first pitch, and we're taking you up till kickoff, or first pitch, wow, not kickoff, here on the Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, the Fan. I'm thinking about kickoff because we're going to tee this thing up and kick it right through the uprights with our guy David Bach. In about 15 minutes from right now here on the Wendy's Big Show, when he makes his usual Tuesday appearance, usually at 4:35, instead this week at 2:35. They got practice, they got a good week, and they got a big week going down to Big D and taking on the Dallas Cowboys. 414-799-1250. What do you think of this playoff roster with 10 pitchers, 15 hitters for the Milwaukee Brewers, and the biggest question mark, Travis Shaw? Let's go out to our guy KJ in West Dallas. He's up on the Fan. Hey, KJ.
Aloha, my brothers. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Listen, man, I'm not a big fan of this Travis Shaw situation. I think you should be earning your way onto a 25-man roster. I get it. It's just a wild card game, and he probably won't be on the next if they win tonight. But, look, the guy is hitting – he's not even hitting his weight. He's not hitting for power, and he's not getting on base. So is there not anybody else –
Well, and KJ, here's the idea. I appreciate the call. As you know, Gary, we were talking about the splits against Max Scherzer. Travis Shaw is one of the only guys that's really touched Max Scherzer at 333. I mean, now 2-for-6 in his career against Scherzer. But he's also gotten on base at a much better clip than a lot of other bench guys that you're going to have. And in a couple of those highlights that we played coming out in the montage from Fox Sports Wisconsin, he was on base after big walks. So, like, in this sense, I don't expect Travis Shaw to be in the starting lineup, but now with those splits, more things have surprised me than Travis Shaw getting in at bat early on in this game. But for the situation at hand, with the one-game situation, Stevie, you probably could do a lot worse than 21 in a guy that hit 63 bombs in 2 years.
Yeah. So, my question is, okay, so if you want to start him, where are you playing him? First base over Thames?
No. I'm not.
Moustakas is playing third, right?
Yes.
So the only other option for him is first.
No, and really, I think
second, but I don't want to deal with that.
The option for him is, depending on when you get to Brandon Woodruff's spot in the lineup, for him to be the first guy off the bench hitting-wise. I think that's where you're looking at him as a pinch-hitting role early off of Scherzer.
Gotcha. So, that's fine with me. Early. Yes, early is fine. Late is not. Seventh and past, I'm not going to be happy.
That's when you want Ben Gamble. Right.
I don't want Travis Shaw in their seventh, eighth, ninth inning. Nope, I'll pass. I don't know if I like anybody on the Brewers bench at this point, to be honest with you, but Travis Shaw, no, I'll pass. Now, those numbers that you read there and how he's done there against Scherzer, that's good. That's encouraging. I'm fine with that. So
there you go.
you want to pinch hit him there in the third inning? Fine. My concern is,
but come on.
Need a little something?
My concern is if they get to Woodruff early and often in the first inning, then what? I know that's your guy.
That's
Nobody's
touching Woody in the first three innings.
I understand. I'm just saying if
might get one hit.
It's 3-0 after one or something. How quickly will Council go get him? Because this is a one-game situation. How long does he let him go before he says, okay, dude, that's enough. Because, in my opinion, I don't know what y'all think, I look at this game and go, this has to be somewhere in the area of like a 3-2, 2-1 game for the Brewers to have a chance. Nationals get 5-6 runs. I just don't think the Brewers can overcome that.
And I don't see the Brewers scoring 5 or 6 runs. But now, in the over-under number is set at 7.5, I think that's right on par for an under. With, like you said, Stevie, I see this game 4-2 crew. And in the vein of you get on early, you get at least one or two in that first inning, and then it stays decently pat until later on into the game. And I think the Nats can scrape across at least one or two against the Brewers bullpen after Woody comes out after about three innings. But you're looking, if this thing goes to script, and this is just how reading the roster with Anderson, Claudio, Guerra, Hader, Jackson, Lyles, Peralta, Pomeranz, Suter, and Woodruff goes, you get 2-3 out of Woodruff. Then you're going with probably a Suter for 2 to maybe 3,
right.
Get you into the middle innings, and then I think it's
now
Lyles. Then you're going into the sixth. I think it's Lyles, Pomeranz, Hader.
So you use Lyles in a shorter stint. You're not bringing Lyles in after Woodruff. You're going to bridge it with Suter.
And now that's where the hesitation for me comes in, because if it's the sixth inning and Suter and Woodruff got you clean through 5. Man, I'm tempted to roll the dice with Freddie Peralta and see if he can lock it down for 3 up, 3 down.
And to me, that's the rub. That's the rub when we come in here tomorrow, because Craig Counsell can be second-guessed almost at
Craig Counsell has to have a huge
sure.
night.
Yeah.
Craig Counsell has to have the biggest, the best game of the year.
And that's why I'm saying he's moving pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Martinez not moving as many pieces as Craig's going to move around. That's why he will be subject to, I would have done this.
But the best part about it is, though, Gary, there's nobody else I'd rather have making those decisions than Craig Counsell.
Well, I don't think a lot of people feel that way. I think most people, I mean, early on, everybody, I don't know, I think a lot of people did not like Craig Counsell, wanted him fired, thought he was doing a horrible job.
5 years ago.
No, this season. There was some of that talk. There were some people who were, and for me, I get questioning coaches. It doesn't necessarily mean that you want them fired. Questioning coaches mean that you're not confident in what they're doing.
I'll question every coach as long as I live, no matter who the coach.
I know you
of.
Will. I know you
whether
will.
Whether he's Saban but see, or I don't
know,
whoever.
But I don't know which is which. Meaning that questioning coach doesn't mean that you want to fire.
Correct.
You can question coach like, this is what I would have done.
Especially in baseball.
Sure.
Right. This is what I would have done. That's why I think, that's what I'm saying. That's why I think Craig has the toughest job out of all these guys, because he's got a lot of moving parts to try to manage and put together.
I'll tell you how he comes out of this unscathed that they lose. If they don't score, it doesn't matter what he did. If they lose 5-0, nobody's going to care about Counsell, because they're just going to say, couldn't hit, doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, if they lose 5-1 or something like that, still not going to be on Counsell.
2-3.
They lose 3-2 on some goofy idea that he has late in the game, then people are going to lose their minds a little bit. Oh, we're going to go get Claudio, and I got Hader sitting there, or somebody
because
else.
Because that happens. And
then people are going to go nuts.
And that happens a lot, and sometimes he goes by hunch.
Sure.
And sometimes he goes by the numbers.
Yep.
Now, today, you would figure, is the starting lineup out yet?
No, it'll be out probably within the next hour
you
or so.
You think they go lefty?
It'll be left-handed heavy for sure, and they'll ride with the splits for the most part. But your regular characters of Braun and Hero will definitely make the lineup
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So those will be the only guys that will probably be the right-handers in the starting lineup. But you also have options for late game defensive replacements depending on whatever happens with Lorenzo Cain. You got Grisham and Gamble. So you have coverage in wherever this game maybe goes haywire for you and the replacements you can make later on in the game. Gary, I totally agree with you. Craig Counsell has to have the best game he's had all year long. He does. But if there's anybody in Major League Baseball, and doing the post-game show, we second-guess Craig Counsell all the time. He joked with us last year.
Well,
when
that's
we talked
what it's
to him,
all about.
Right, when we talked to him after they clinched the spot in St. Louis, he said, I know you guys always got something to complain about, but tonight's not the night for that. And it's right, but tonight... Oh, yeah, it's great audio. I have it for you. I'll play it for you just a little bit later on. Yeah,
really?
No doubt. He says,
he said it to who?
Tim and I.
Really?
Yeah, I know you guys always got something to complain about, but tonight's not the night for that.
What night did he say that on? For what?
When
for
they clinched last year in St. Louis.
Oh.
When we talked to him on the phone.
That's
when he was
true, though, right?
With.
I mean, I just clinched. What are you questioning me on, right?
But
let's enjoy this.
But that's what this job is. That's what the manager of a baseball team is.
Right.
You're going to get second guess till the cows come home every single night.
And some more than others.
He needs to have the big night tonight, though.
And I had said this to Doug Melvin, too, a long time ago, that I just don't. I mean, if I were a manager, I'd lose my mind. Because you're going to hit me before the game and after the game.
You'd be Hal McCray and people.
Oh, man. 162 times I was going to have it.
Double it up.
These dumbass
questions. Right. Because I'd be Hal McCray. matter of fact, Nick Saban can coach baseball.
No.
No, he could not.
He can do that.
I'm not going to. So quit asking me.
Right. He had to do that twice a day. You kidding me? Done.
Look at how Matt Popovich gets dealing with all that.
Yeah, he couldn't do
that. That's another one. He's doing it half the time.
That's still a lot, but half
of what he would do in baseball.
I think Belichick would like it. He would be able to shut people up left and right, just walk off on people every day.
Belichick just look at you.
Just look at you like, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you, Bill, did you think about going to Josh Hader there in the eighth with the left-hander coming up?
No.
We're moving.
Right. I mean, where are you going? So, I guess we all agree that, yes, in regards to all this stuff,
100%.
Craig Counsell's got to be on. Now, and you're right, baseball lends itself to questioning of managers.
Always
because
does.
There's just so many moving parts, and especially with the Milwaukee Brewers. Listen, man, I'm just happy that they make it. I agree with you. You and I and Bill Michaels were talking about, as we were changing shifts, and Bill was talking about because it will end abruptly, like what happened.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, that's how this is set up. I wish it was 2 out of 3, but, you know.
It's the toughest part about sports is that, Gary, you can speak to this, especially in pro sports. The season ends so abruptly.
It does.
And there it's a matter of fact, and then you go from being busy all the time to having nothing to do. And I think that's one of the crazy parts about baseball is in this game, Sparky, either one team is going to hop on a plane and head to L.A. and play on Thursday night. The other one is going to clean out their lockers tomorrow, and they'll be in their vacation homes or their off-season homes by 3 o'clock, probably tomorrow afternoon. How quickly it goes.
Wait a minute, real quick. So, did you see this tweet? Counsell does not know how to manage the bullpen, never has. You get down with that?
No, I do not get
Stevie.
Who is that from?
Steve, but not you.
Definitely not me.
I am Flash. Look, I am Flash One. Oh, I'm Flash One, whoever that is.
This is what I'll say to that. Most fan bases don't think their manager knows how to manage a bullpen. The St. Louis Cardinal fans thought La Russa was the worst manager in the world when it came to bullpen management, and the man did nothing but win World Series and get to World Series. And he got scrutinized countless times in St. Louis, where they almost wanted him fired at times in St. Louis for his bullpen management. Your bullpen management is as good as however the kid is that pitches that you sent out on the mound in that situation. That's normally how it works. Can you make boneheaded decisions? Absolutely. Josh Hader, you know, is available. It's a must-win or go-home situation, and you bring Alex Claudio in or something. Yeah, then people are going to lose their minds. Why didn't you go to the best reliever in the game instead of saving him for the ninth inning when you could have used him there in the seventh inning in a big situation? That's the type of stuff that will get Craig Counsell criticized tomorrow and tonight on the Bayview Shane Blinds postgame show with Tim and Billy after the game. If they lose 3-2 because Claudio gives up a big hit in a tie game or the Brewers up one, and he could have went to Hader in the seventh but wanted to wait till the ninth or something. That's where the second guessing will start. But if this game is decided by 3, 4, 5 runs and the Brewers can't score, nobody's going to go after Counsell. Nobody at all.
Yeah, hopefully the Nationals can't score. Hopefully the Brewers run away from it.
Yeah, either way.
5-1.
But we're talking if Counsell gets criticized.
Yeah.
He's not going to get criticized in a win. So we're talking about in a loss situation.
Oh, no, he will get criticized in a win. Somebody will find some reason why to criticize Craig Counsell, even if they win.
Just
because
that,
it's fun.
Well, just like that tweet.
Yeah, just because it's fun.
I mean, how you say he's never been able to manage a bullpen there in the playoffs? Now, mind you, is he the
is that
only...
guy's logo like a picture of an egg or something like that?
I don't know. It's a picture of a horse, maybe. I don't know.
The donkey go home.
Yeah,
we got David Bocciari coming
you real
up
quick.
Next.
Mind you, real quick, we'll get David. Is he the first manager to get to a postseason back to back?
For the Brewers, Stevie would be able to talk more about it, but I think Harvey there
King.
In 81 and 82.
Yeah.
Harvey King got you back-to-back?
Yeah, 80 and 81 or whatever.
And that was the only other time the organization has been to the playoffs back-to-back.
Back-to-back years.
Also, this is fun. Craig Counsell, longest tenured manager in the National League.
Actually.
After today.
What?
wait a second. Hold on. That when they went to the World Series, he got
Did somebody get fired in the middle of the year?
It was Buck Rogers the previous year, and then Harvey Keene came in. I don't know. I have to go back and check that. That's interesting, though. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe he is. We'd have to go back
and look at that.
David Bakhtiari joins us next here on the Wendy's Big Show. Packers left tackle on the Fan next.
Now it's time to go under the helmet with Green Bay left tackle David Bakhtiari.
Let's talk a little bit about David Bakhtiari, one of the best, if not the best, pass blocking tackles in all of football.
Presented by Stein's Garden and Home. Stein's premium winterizer nourishes your lawn all winter for quick spring green up. Formulated exclusively for Wisconsin lawns. Stein's, planted in Wisconsin, growing with you since 1946.
Tell you what though, David Bakhtiari had a heck of a first half when Khalil Mack was lined up over him. He got no pressures out of that.
We'll probably be playing against each other for a while. I mean, every opportunity we get a chance to go against each other, it's going to be a good time. I think it's going to be one of those instances where we'll probably talk towards the end of one of each other's careers. You know, I wouldn't say we have too many conversations so far.
Joining us now, welcome back, Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. It is David Bakhtiari, Packers left tackle, three-time All-Pro on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, and 3-1 Green Bay Packers. David, welcome back. Appreciate the time, man.
Thank you, guys.
So this week, the team takes the first loss of the year at Lambeau Field, but coming off of it into Dallas, feels like probably a little bit of a de facto bye week playing on Thursday night, huh?
Yeah, I think... through my 7 years, they've always, coaches always done a good job of giving us a little mini bye, and you know, LaFleur's first year kind of did the same thing as what I'm kind of accustomed to. Kind of come in the next day, debrief, get a quick introduction to the opponent that we'll be facing, but then, you know, kind of get away from the game a little bit, kind of reset, because our bye week, I believe, is not till November, which is a later one. So to kind of give us a little mini bye in this 11 game stretch is pretty big.
All right, so let's talk about a little bit what happened in your previous football game against the Eagles. I guess a lot of people thought it was going to be a shootout. I guess I wasn't necessarily one of those thinking that this was going to be a shootout at the end of the day. Anything, I don't know, take you by surprise or something you didn't count on in that game?
Well, obviously not winning took me by surprise, but... I mean, we knew... what they were capable of. I mean, they came out and they played a good game of football. You got to tip your hat to them. They ended up coming out with a win. Obviously, you don't like having putting defense in bad positions. And I believe, you know, offensively and special teams, we didn't give our defense a good enough shot, turning over the ball and giving them the ball in a, you know, scoring territory to begin their drives.
Hey, man, were you lobbying to run that football down at the goal line?
I mean,
come on now.
I'm an offensive lineman. I think that's just kind of in my nature.
Yeah, that's every single play.
That's
every
what I like
single
to
play
hear.
You like to run the football.
Good, good. That's good. At least somebody was in there saying we should run the football, because we were saying it, watching it at our party at the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill, that you guys should have been running the football. So I'm glad I'm not by myself.
Nope, you're not alone.
David Bakhtiari joining us here on the Wendy's Big Show. David, in that sense, though, when you have those kinds of situations, those goal line stands, the team never wavers in the game, and you guys obviously had some key injuries, losing Brian as well as Devontae later on in the game. What is that like in that huddle when you know one of your key guys isn't going to be able to go out there for you in a two-minute drive like you guys need it?
Next man up, no excuses. That's kind of... the number one MO. That doesn't matter who's in that huddle. You have to know your assignment. Two, you got to execute your assignment. And three, you got to produce. So, you know, we knew that, you know, having Devontae down, obviously a key player, he's, you know, he's a very special talent. We got to find another way to go down there, because we know that Devontae's not going to be able to help us out. Same thing with Brian, you know. Having Alex like him, and thought he stepped up pretty well. But we're going to count on him to block, you know, one of their good pass rushers, Brooks. And we expect him to block him at a high level as well.
You know, I thought it was a weird game, David, because, you know, really, I was kind of upset. Of course, you were too, after the game. But then if I take a step back, you got to be happy about at the quarter pole here, you're 3-1. I mean, if when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, I think Zadarius had a good kind of foresight. If you go 3-1 four times,
yes,
through the four quarters of the season, that puts you at 12-4.
Right.
And 12-4 puts you at a good case to be the number one seed.
Let's talk about the fact of this whole Thursday night shebang thing. Going into that Thursday night game, you said, well, I don't mind Thursday night week one, obviously. That's not as big of a deal. But then you get that short turnaround. Obviously, the Eagles had the same short turnaround. They actually played on Sunday night, so you both were kind of up against the same thing. What's the toughest part for you guys on that short turnaround as football players?
I mean, it's really generic, but when it comes out, it's really just mentally and physically. You know, mentally, you're trying to it's like having I think I'm stealing everyone's quotes, but Tremont had a really good quote. It's like Wednesday, your teacher says, "Hey, we're gonna have a surprise test on Friday." Mm-hmm. You got to cram everything in a day and a half before. So a week's worth of work you have to cram in 2 days, and then you physically have to get your bodies able to play in an entire football game in, 4 days.
Would you say the offense is still a work in progress, David?
Yeah, I mean, we keep taking a step in the right direction, but for us to put together four quarters and show the full talent for 60 minutes, I don't think we've done that yet. I think, we've seen good phases produce, which is great, which has obviously helped us be 3-1, but I thought that, from last week's game, the passing game really took a step, the rhythm, timing. I felt Aaron felt more comfortable. I felt as an offensive line, we felt a little more comfortable with where the pockets and setting up is going to be, as well as I think the receivers on the timing. So we put that together on top of a run game. Hopefully against the Cowboys this Sunday, that's really, hopefully that'll be our catapult into what's to come down the stretch.
Talking with David Bakhtiari. He joins the Wendy's Big Show on Tuesdays, usually 4:35 here, 2:35 Packers taking on the Dallas Cowboys in Big D this weekend. David, you just mentioned it with that Cowboys team. Very good against the run. They had a big game on Sunday Night Football, and they're coming off a loss as well. What's the biggest key facing a team with a front seven and the two inside backers like they have down in Dallas?
Winning the trenches is the number one thing that pops in my mind. We got to be able to not only control the line of scrimmage. We have to dominate the line. We have to dominate the line of scrimmage. It's going to be a good front. Not only with who they have on the line of scrimmage, but also their front seven, even their back end. I think they have a good defense. They're coached well. That they play hard, and it's going to be a good football game. I think it's going to be a good test on all three phases.
Based on the fact that we think Dexter Williams probably is going to get some playing time, I would think, coming up this weekend against Dallas. Tell us a little bit about Dexter Williams. We saw him a little bit, obviously, in preseason.
I mean, Dexter's he's a streaky player. I think he's got a lot of lightning quickness. I think those are things that kind of popped out you see in preseason. His ability, when he's decisive, he's a very effective football player. It's his ability to continue to be decisive, and that's through him evolving in the playbook and understanding, how and where the balls are supposed to be run.
Do you think they'll go with Trey Carson off the practice squad, too, to make sure it doesn't happen to you guys again, like what happened last week with only two tailbacks on the roster?
That's something I don't know. But
would Trey Carson be ready for it if that was the case?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm honestly a Trey Carson fan. The guy's got a great story. He's a good football player. He plays hard, and he's a no excuse guy. And that's my kind of guy.
And I think when you look at your football team too, though, you're right, it is a work in progress. Now you're starting to fill in holes with other guys that were on the practice squad or that were second team for you guys, and now they got to come up and play a prominent role with what you guys are trying to get done.
Yeah, I will say when it comes to injuries, you always hate them. You never want them, but it almost forces the team to evolve and grow and become more well-rounded. So as much as you hate it, you never wish it. If everything falls into place at the right time, it honestly helps your team out even more.
What's your thoughts? Just say, for example, Devontae Adams can't go. What's your thoughts on MVS?
I mean, he's a great talent. I think for him, you know, I think everyone sees it, everyone knows it, including himself. It's his ability to show it week in and week out.
Devontae, hopefully going to be able to suit up for you guys. David Bakhtiari joining us here on the Wendy's Big Show. David, when you guys go down to Dallas, you guys have had success in that building, and you as a savvy veteran, what's it like winning a game in Jerry World compared to other places? Because that's one of my favorite places to watch games, and I also like when Cowboy fans are upset.
I mean, I never won the big one in there that we have a few guys on the roster who have, but it's an interesting environment. I will say that for sure. It's definitely, I think Jerry's World is a great way to describe that stadium. It's a tough environment. It's a very rewarding environment, though, especially when you win. And I think, you know, myself and also Aaron has had good success over there.
All right, take Lambeau Field out of it. What's your favorite stadium in the NFL to play in?
My favorite stadium to play in? Oof. I'd have to go with the loudest. So, I don't know, Seattle. Seattle is a mix between loud, turf, it's outside. But, like, it's crazy because it's so loud, but yet it's open concept.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of fun. It's near the water. Maybe I go with them.
Okay, that works out. Well, a trip to Seattle would be fun, especially with a victory in the playoffs. That would make it even sweeter. David, appreciate it, man. Good luck this week against the Cowboys. We appreciate you joining us here on the Wendy's Big Show each week.
I appreciate it, guys. Take care, buddy.
Thanks, man. That's David Bakhtiari joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, brought to you by Steins. And if you are looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
Sounds like to me he wants Trey Carson in there instead of Dexter Williams. I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but if you listen to his explanation of what he thinks of Dexter Williams and then what he said about Trey Carson, sounds like to me, if it was up to him, Trey Carson would be that second back behind Aaron Jones. That would sound like to you?
Well, because Trey Carson was necessarily in the preseason, feels like he's more reliable.
Well, and he's been around a little bit, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Dexter Williams is a rookie.
Right.
So why then did Trey Carson get to the practice squad?
Dexter Williams is a draft pick. Dexter Williams, I believe, has more like natural stuff.
He's got the home run hitting ability, that's for sure.
Trey Carson, no slouch himself, but I think is a better all-around player. And sometimes you take that flyer on that guy that can, you know, that is a more of a natural.
Because like Bakhtiari said, knowing the playbook and stuff like that, that's going to irritate the you-know-what on Aaron Rodgers if he does something wrong on the field against the Cowboys and gets Rodgers killed.
And with Dexter Williams, that could happen.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. So I just wonder if they're not going to activate.
Also could happen, he can make the big play, the big run.
Mm-hmm. Just wonder if they don't just activate Trey Carson. And he ends up being that other guy with Aaron Jones. And then maybe they do go back with Dexter Williams as a third back. If they don't have two other tailbacks beyond Aaron Jones this week, again, I would be very surprised.
I'm going to be stunned and hot if they only have two active running. If they don't have anybody behind Aaron Jones and it's Danny Vitale and you're going to trust that dude to carry the football, then we have some major issues. Because you're also then devaluing what you said you were going to do, and that was run the football and want to run the football.
Can I just say this?
Go ahead. We're
talking Packers, but see, this stuff can drive me crazy here about Craig Council. I mean, it just really is. Lamont, tonight's going to be rough for the Brewers. I'm not confident Craig Council will manage the bullpen properly. If Davey Lopes or Jerry Royster were there,
come on, man,
I'd feel better.
Just come on. Just be done with that. That's
what?
As I'm worth reading that.
Is this the slander we're getting here?
That slander. That is straight out slander. Two of the worst coaches in Brewers history. Two of the worst coaches in Brewers history. Stop with me, Davey Lopes and Jerry Royster. That's craziness. Were you even born when those guys were managing?
Yeah, I know Davey Lopes. I have his baseball card, like the ones that the cops used to give out, like the full team sets.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
He was a great baseball
He was the manager
player.
Of my man, Jose Hernandez. Favorite player when
you.
I was growing
up. Look at you.
Great baseball player. Not so good as a manager, though. Great baseball player, though.
Yeah, no, that's not even worth anyone's time. Anybody saying Davey Lopes or something like that? No.
Save that tweet. I want Billy to read that to Tim Allen on the air.
No,
I don't want to.
No,
I want to see. I want to see what Tim does when he hears that tweet.
We got more important stuff to
talk about.
That
would be really good.
We got to talk to Freems. He's in D.C.
Yeah, he's taking pictures. He's got a video up on Twitter already. Freems.
All right. Freems' selfies are some of the top content you're going to find on this station.
Oh man,
that's for sure.
They're priceless.
Yeah, that's.
He joins us in 1 hour from D.C., so that'll be fun.
And Mike Clemens joins us at 4:48. Mike Clemens has a report, and we're back with a couple of reasons why you should be maybe taking the price on the Milwaukee Brewers. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
Last year probably provided a great example of what it can do for the community in kind of the best-case scenarios. And then, you know, just in a normal thing, it's, you know, what sports are meant to do is provide an outlet for entertainment, provide a connection for people in the community. I think the Brewers have done that. It's civic pride, a place to come that the citizens are proud of, and a place to enjoy each other's company, and hopefully see something entertaining. I think we're doing a decent job of that. And over 50 years, would prefer more world championships, but hopefully we're getting there.
That's Craig Counsell. Yesterday, before they take on the Washington Nationals, they being the Milwaukee Brewers, the team that he manages and he has managed for the last 5 years, longest tenured manager in Major League Baseball. He was hired May 4th of 2015, to replace the aforementioned Ron Renicki. Now, he would not be grouped into the managers that Gary read before the break, right? Stevie, Ron Renicki?
No, he's not in the Davey Lopes, Jerry Royster. No. Ron Renicki, I thought it was pretty solid when he was here. I didn't have huge issues with Renicki necessarily.
So now if Counsell is, because, I mean, I'll put Craig Counsell in the top, you know, two or three managers in Brewers history. Now, granted, that might not be saying too much because of what the history of the team has been.
Well, Harvey Keene was only here 2 years.
Sure.
I mean, if they get to a World Series under his watch, even if they don't win it, I think he's number one.
And now I've been telling people that the Brewers, I have a good feeling about tonight's game simply because of the team that the Brewers are at this point, and also I think that the Washington Nationals lose every big game ever, so they won't be able to get the job done. They've lost every single time they've been in the divisional round series. Max Scherzer has lost. The team has lost his last 7 postseason starts, so I'm not all that concerned about the Washington Nationals being at home, but this some food for thought for all those people that may be a little skeptical. The Brewers going on the road, taking on the Nationals on the road. Since the inception of the wild card game in 2012, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, how many home teams have won that game?
Since 2012?
Since 2012.
So we've got, say, 3.
2. The Pittsburgh Pirates in 2013 and the Arizona Diamondbacks in 2017. Other than that, the road team has been victorious in all of these battles. Mm. The Cardinals in 2012, the Giants in 2014. That team ended up going all the way through and winning the World Series in 2014 with Bruce Bochy. They then beat the Nationals, stunner, in the DS. Yeah, then they beat the Cardinals in the NLCS 4-1, and then beat the Royals, who a couple of players on this Brewers team, Mike Moustakas and Lorenzo Cain, have a lot of familiarity with in that World Series. They lost 4-3 there. Cubs in 2015, who made it all the way to the NLCS, and then the Giants in 2016, and the Rockies in 2018, who were eliminated by the Milwaukee Brewers last year. So, there you go. Road teams have some success in this game. Come on. Not a whole lot of energy in here. We need
Come
to be
on.
Excited.
Come
We're
on.
Within 4 hours
Come
from
on.
First pitch.
Come on.
Yeah, I feel your energy. You're jacked up. You're ready to go. Got the
Brewers.
I'm wearing a Brewers shirt, too. We
Everybody's
both got Brewers gear
got
on,
on,
right?
You're
We're
right.
both wearing Brewers gear. So
yeah, I even got Brewer underwear on.
You got some Brewer draws on?
Yeah.
Where do you pick those up at? Like a TJ Maxx?
The spring shop. Where were we at?
American Family Fields of Phoenix?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, American Family Fields.
Oh, I didn't know if they took you into a different shop. I didn't see any underwear there. Otherwise, I would have grabbed myself some.
Well, they have none on your side. Cause.
Oh, okay. Well, that would make sense. Wendy's Big Show here, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM in the freeradio.com app. Gary, we're talking about trying to get the Brewers to an opportunity where they can win a ring. But, hey, things do happen, and if the Brewers don't get it done, they could go buy one at a really good price.
Yeah, the Jewelry Center, located on 76 and Layton Plaza.
and that is Dean Murray.
In Brookfield, off of Blue Mountain Road in a Tri-City National Bank building right on the second floor. New location for you folks in Burlington, Wisconsin. Yes, my good friend Dean Murray. Dean Murray is the owner. And mostly he's at the 76 in Layton location. But guys, when you stop in there to see him, you're going to get the best possible deal on any piece of jewelry that you have.
The best.
And when you walk in the store, don't be alarmed. There's people always there because people know where to go to get the best deals.
They're so, smart people.
Smart people. But the people there are working at the jewelry center, A+, A1 people. They're there to help your buying process to run as smooth as possible. And really, guys, if you don't like something that they don't have, they have a goldsmith right there on premise. They can design and develop something for you if that's what you like. Guys, it's just a great buying experience when you're looking for a piece of jewelry. I suggest if you're looking for something, anything, they have the Alex and Ani line, they have the Pandora line. If you're looking for anything like that or anything that you can think of, guys, go to the jewelry center. Ask for my good friend Dean Murray. He's the owner. He's always there. 76 and Layton Plaza in Brookfield, off Blue Mountain Road, Tri-City National Bank building. And a third location for you folks in Burlington, Wisconsin.
Once the Brewers lineup is out, same with the Nationals, we'll bring that to you here on the Wendy's Big Shows. We're getting you ready for the wild card game tonight in the nation's capital. Chuck Freeman is there. He will join us in about 45 minutes from right now. But let's talk a little bit of Packers football. We just had David Bakhtiari on. They take on the Dallas Cowboys this weekend, but How good is the NFC North? Well, how good are the Packers in it? Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.